Let's check in with golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
Whoa, John, what are you playing?
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know, I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. That's Daly. Moto Casino, hands down, has the best VIP experience. Take it from one high roller to another. If you're ready to go for the greens with me, grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Craftsman Days are here at Lowe's with big savings on the tools you need. Right now, get a free select tool when you buy the Craftsman V20 2-Pack Battery Kit. Whether it's the backyard, the bathroom, or beyond, Craftsman has the tools to help you power through and get the project done right. Because DIYing is unpredictable, but your tools shouldn't be. Shop Craftsman at Lowe's today. Valid through 6/18 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
It's time to play big on Moto Social Casino, America's hottest free-to-play social casino experience. Moto.us has live casino games. It's time! Play big, win bigger on Moto.us today.
Moto is a social casino, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Visit Moto.us for more details.
It's time!
Moto.us.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Memorial Day Sale and get 30% off paints and stains May 16th through the 26th. With prices starting at $34.29, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your bedroom, living room, or home office, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Shop the sale online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi and continuing coverage of the case against Karen Reed.
All right, Mr. Lally, whenever you're ready.
Thank you, Your Honor. Good morning, Ms. Lally.
Good morning.
Could you please introduce yourself to the jury, spelling your last name for the court?
My name is Ash Valier, spelled V-A-L-L-I-E-R.
And where do you work?
I work at the Massachusetts State Police Crime Laboratory.
And where did you go to school?
I got my bachelor degree in biochemistry and cell biology from UC San Diego and a master degree in biomedical forensic sciences from Boston University.
Now, following your education, where did you go to work from there?
Directly after I got my degree at Boston University, I worked at the Broad Institute.
And what did you do at the Broad Institute?
I did quality control checks of items that potentially could be tested for pharmaceutical use.
Now, how long have you worked at the Massachusetts State Police Crime Laboratory?
A little over 6 years.
Now, is the state lab accredited?
It is.
And by whom?
ANAB.
And what does ANAB stand for?
It stands for ANSI National Accreditation Board.
And the ANSI within the ANAB, what does that stand for?
That is another acronym that I don't recall right now.
Now, as part of that accreditation process, do you undergo any sort of type of proficiency testing?
I do.
And can you explain to the jury what that proficiency testing process consists of?
A proficiency test is a test that is given from an outside agency in the discipline that you do casework in, that you would work through like a normal case, but it has an end expected result at the end.
And how often do you undergo proficiency testing?
Every year.
And what areas do you specifically undergo proficiency testing in?
I've done proficiency tests in gunshot primer residue and physical match analysis.
And have you successfully completed each of those proficiency tests that you've taken?
I have.
Now, when you initially joined the State Police Lab, what was your position and title that you were hired for?
I was hired as a Forensic Scientist 1.
Now, can you please explain to the jury what your duties and responsibilities were as a Forensic Scientist 1?
So a Forensic Scientist 1 is the introductory level. It's when you start your training in whatever discipline you're going to be trained in and quality control checks. After you've been at the laboratory for over a year, and you're signed off to do casework, you become a forensic scientist too.
And you're currently a forensic scientist too, is that correct?
Yes.
What is the difference between a forensic scientist one and a forensic scientist two at the Massachusetts State Police Crime Laboratory?
A forensic scientist two has been at the lab for over a year and can do casework.
Now, just in general terms, what does the trace unit do or examine within the State Police Crime Laboratory?
I'm a part of the Trace Arson and Explosives Unit. So we analyze a wide range of pieces of evidence. So there's trace covers a lot of small things. So paint, fibers, glass, gunshot primer residue, physical matches. Arson covers fire debris evidence, and explosives covers explosives.
Now, specifically with reference to physical match analysis, can you explain to the jury, just in general terms at first, how is that analysis performed?
So physical match analysis is piecing broken things together to see if they were at once a single item. Generally, you look at the questioned item first, the item that you don't know specifically where it came from. Look at that, and then you would look at the known item, which is an item with a known source, like specifically like this window or like this vehicle. They're analyzed at separate times. And then if it looks like there could potentially be a physical match, you would analyze them together and see if they have a mechanical fit.
Now, when you retrieve items just in general to do some sort of physical match analysis, where do you get those items from?
We have evidence storage locations at the laboratory.
And how are they typically packaged when you receive them?
They can be packaged in cardboard boxes, brown paper bags, heat-sealed plastic bags. It depends on the individual items.
And when you're doing this analysis as far as a physical match analysis, what do you do to your bench between your examination of separately packaged items?
Before I do any analysis, I bleach my bench, clean my tools, and then put down a fresh sheet of butcher paper.
And why do you do that?
To make sure everything's clean.
Now, again, speaking more in general terms, on what types of evidence can you perform a physical match analysis?
Can you repeat the question?
Sure. In general terms, with your work within the lab, on what types of items can you perform a physical match analysis?
A lot. Anything that has a broken or irregular edge.
Would that include glass?
Yes.
Would that include plastic?
Yes.
What are some of the other things that would also include?
Any sort of like polymer, metals.
And when you're doing a physical match analysis, what instruments do you utilize in the course of that analysis?
Generally, I'll use a stereo zoom microscope. Depending on the size of the items compared, I can use other microscopes as well.
Now, what is a stereo zoom microscope?
A stereo zoom microscope is a microscope that's mounted on a stand. So it gives a wider range of view that you can look at larger items.
And how are you using that specifically in your physical match analysis of, let's say, items of plastic?
I'll use it to look at the edges and see if there's any like defining characteristics along those broken edges.
Now, as you're going through your analysis, do you document your work as you go?
I do.
And how do you do that?
With handwritten notes and with photos.
Now, at some point, were you assigned to perform some work on lab case number 22-02184 pertaining to this defendant, Karen Reed?
Yes.
And what type of work were you assigned to do in this case?
I was asked to do physical match analysis, and then later on, I was asked to look at, do some trace recovery, look at some debris.
And starting with the physical match analysis, how many different items approximately were you asked to look at?
Over 10.
Several, fair to say?
Yes.
Okay. And how were each of those items packaged when you received them?
So the questioned items were packaged in a first in a large paper bag, and then each item was individually packaged in a smaller brown paper bag within that container.
Now, again, just in general terms, because you've used it a couple times, when you say questioned item versus known item, as it pertains to this analysis in this case, what were the questioned items generally, and what was the known item?
The questioned items were items labeled as coming from a road, and the known item was labeled as coming from a taillight from a vehicle.
Now, in this case, did you perform your physical match analysis in the same manner that you've previously described based on your education, training, and experience within the lab?
Yes.
Now, initially, you had examined some various plastic and glass items, and there was a drinking straw in there as well, correct?
Yes.
And specifically, as far as the item numbers that you looked at in this physical match analysis, could you provide the jury with a list of just the item numbers first to start with?
May
Your
I?
Do you have any report with you, Mr. Webb?
I do.
Is there any objection to me using the report?
No objection at all.
So feel free to use it.
Thank you.
So the questioned items labeled as coming from the road were item 7-5, item 7-6, 7-8, 7-9, 7-10, 7-11, 7-12, 7-13, 7-14, 7-15, 7-16, and 7-19. And the known item labeled coming from the passenger side taillight is item 3-1.
Now, Ms. Valier, within those specific item numbers of how things are labeled at your lab, if there are different pieces associated with the same item, how is it that you labeled those specifically in this physical match analysis here?
So some of the items had multiple pieces within that item, so I labeled them A, B, C, etc., depending on how many pieces there were.
Now, if you could, please explain to the jury just, again, the process that you followed in your examination of each of those items.
So first I looked at the questioned items, the items labeled as coming from the road. I documented the overall package because they were all packaged in the same container, the same brown paper bag. Documented that individually inside of it, there were a bunch of individual brown paper bags. Documented that, and I went one at a time through them, opening each paper bag, taking written notes, taking photos of the items inside. Within each item, I looked to see if any of those pieces fit together, and I cleaned my bench in between the items.
Your Honor, may I approach?
Yes.
And Your Honor, so of course, I've shown Mr. Yannetti all the photos in advance.
Okay. Is there an objection to any of them, Mr.
Yannetti?
All right, so why don't we just go ahead and mark them all for as evidence?
Your Honor, if I could, I was going to take them item by item.
Okay.
Ms. Blair, I'm showing you four photographs. You recognize those?
I do.
What do you recognize those to be?
These are photos that I took of item 3-1.
Again, what was the description associated with item 3-1?
Passenger side taillight.
And was that description further given sort of a specific vehicle or a license plate associated with the vehicle that the taillight came from?
It does. Massachusetts 3GC684.
And the follow-up will seek to introduce in the minutes and next poll at the next exhibit, A and D.
Right, those are cool. That's why I wanted to just mark them all because they're all...
Mm-hmm. That's fine. If the court prefers, I can...
Exhibits 170A through 170D.
Can I approach with the remainder, Your
Honor? Yes. And if you have them in sections, we can do that.
We are showing you two more photographs. Just ask if you recognize those.
I do.
And where do you recognize those?
photos I took of item 7-5.
And again, from your report, what was the description in reference to item 7-5?
Piece of plastic, red, recovered from 34 Fairview Road.
And you're on the Commonwealth of Seeking to introduce and admit as the next exhibit A and B.
Okay. 171 A and B.
My apologies, Your Honor. Yeah, with the court's permission, may I publish some of those?
Yes.
Ms. Gilman, if I could first ask for photograph 2122. And Ms. Blair, what's up on the screen? That is the bag associated with the passenger side taillight or the known item, correct?
Correct.
And Ms. Gilman, if I could have photograph 2125. And Ms. Gilman, if you could just enlarge a little bit towards the bottom where the ruler is. Now, Ms. Valier, what's up on the screen now as far as the sort of notations there? Who made those?
I did.
And how do you know that you were the one who made those?
That's my handwriting, and those are my initials.
So the AMV is for your name, correct?
Yes.
And with respect to each of the items that you photographed, you had photographs that were taken of sort of what was in the evidence bag in total displayed on your table that you had cleaned with the solution and everything else, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And Ms. Gilman, if you could just zoom out a little bit to show the item. And again, what's up on the screen, that is item 3-1, the known item as far as the taillight from the defendant's vehicle.
Yes.
And Ms. Gilman, if I could have 2126. And Ms. Valier, if you could just describe for the jury, what are we looking at in this photograph?
Those are the same items just turned over.
And lastly, for this set, Ms. Gilman, if I could have 2135. And again, same item as far as 3-1, the taillight taken from the defendant's vehicle.
Yes.
And Ms. Gilman, if I could ask for photograph 1905. And Ms. Valier, as far as with each of these items, you take photographs when they're inside the bag and then once you take them out of the bag, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And Ms. Gilman, if I could have photograph 1908. And what are we looking at in this photograph?
The contents of item 7-5.
May I approach again, Your Honor?
Yes.
Ms. Gilman, if I could have photograph 1921. And then photograph 1924. And what's depicted up on the screen is that what you just have before you as the photograph that you took of item 7-6 recovered from 34 Fairview Road.
Yes.
Thank you. May I approach the witness again, Your Honor?
Yes.
Ms. Gilman, if I could have photograph 1931. And then 1934. And Ms. Gilman, if you could zoom in just a little on those items, please. And Ms. Lear, again, what are we looking at in this photograph of item 7-? What are we looking at again in this photograph? Excuse me.
Photos of item 7-8.
Ms. Gilman, if I could have 1958, please. And then 1962. And again, Ms. Lear, what are we looking at in this photograph?
The contents of that bag, item 7-9 and item 7-19.
May I approach again, Your Honor?
Yes.
Ms. Gilman, if I could have 1952 and then 1956. And again, Ms. Blair, what are we looking at in this photograph?
Photo of item 7-10.
Thank you. Ms. Gilman, 1979 and 1982. Again, Ms. Valier, I'm sorry, Ms. Gilman, if you could zoom in just a little on the items themselves. And Ms. Valier, what are we looking at in this photograph?
Photo of item 7-11.
These are photos, again, that you took in the lab during the course of your comparative or physical match analysis, correct?
Yes.
Ms. Steelman, if I could have photograph 2015 and 2018. And again, Ms. Steelman, if you could just zoom in a little on the items. Thank you. And Ms. Valier, again, can you describe what's depicted up on the screen?
A photo I took of item 7-12.
Ms. Gilman, 1997. And 2000. And again, Ms. Gilman, if you could, please zoom in on the items. Thank you. And Ms. Valier, directing your attention to the screen, can you describe for the jury what is depicted on the screen now?
A photo I took of item 7-13.
Ms. Gilman, if I could have 2009 and 2012. And again, Ms. Gilman, if you could zoom in on the item. And Ms. Valier, as far as what's depicted on the screen, again, if you could describe for the jury what that is.
A photo of item 7-14.
Ms. Gilman, if I could have 2072.
Yes.
Yes.
And 2077, please. Again, if you could zoom just a little as far as the items are concerned. And Ms. Valier, what are we looking at in this photograph?
Item 7-15.
Ms. Gilman, if I could have 2036. And 2040. And Ms. Gilman, if you could zoom in just a little. Thank you very much. And Ms. Valier, if you could please describe for the jury what we're looking at in this particular photograph.
This is item 7-16.
Ms. Gilman, you can take that down. Now, with respect to each of these items that you examined in your physical match analysis, again, as far as the process is concerned, with the question items, what are you doing with reference to each of those question items first?
First, I document them, as you've seen. I'll see if any of those within the item have a physical match with each other. And then I'll package that away and look at all the questioned items before I compare inter-questioned items to see if there are any physical matches in between all the 7-dash items.
And as far as your notes are concerned, what is it that you're noting in reference to each of those items as far as what characteristics of the item are you taking note of?
I'll note the size, the color, and the material.
And what, if any, measurements do you take of each of those respective items as well?
I'll take the length and width of each item.
Now, with respect, starting with item 3-1, the passenger side taillight from the defendant's vehicle, sort of internally within that item 3-1, what did you conclude as far as your physical match analysis within that item alone?
Within item 3-1, I believe 4 of the pieces fit together.
And, Your Honor, if the witness may refer to her notes as to... Thank you.
Yes, four of the pieces fit together within item 3-1.
And which 4 of the pieces?
Pieces A, B, D, and F.
And as far as the labeling of those pieces of an individual item, let's just start with item 3-1. A, B, D, and F, how are they labeled and how do you sort of physically label those items?
We have a label maker in the lab, so I'll print out the case number, the item number, and then A, B, C, and my initials, and that goes physically on each of those items, or all of those pieces.
So if any of those items had a sticker on it with a letter or something associated with that, that would be something that you did during the course of your physical match analysis, correct?
Yes.
Now, if I could turn your attention to item 7-5, piece of plastic, red, recovered from 34 Fairview Road. What did you conclude as far as your physical match analysis just within that single item?
There was no physical match noted among those three pieces of apparent plastic.
And when you say no physical match found from the different pieces within that item, what does that mean?
The broken edges of each piece did not align.
So the broken edges of the individual pieces within item 7-5 did not fit together with the broken edges of pieces within item 7-5, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Now, with respect to item 7-6, a clear piece of plastic recovered from 34 Fairview Road, what did you conclude based on your physical match analysis just pertaining to that item 7-6?
So this item was two pieces of colorless apparent plastic, and there was no physical match noted between those two pieces.
Now, with reference to item 7-8, red and clear plastic recovered from 34 Fairview Road, what did you conclude in regard to your physical match analysis just with the pieces contained within item 7-8?
So there were 14 pieces. Pieces C and D fit together, and pieces E and F fit together.
And when you say fit together, is there a term of art used within your field called a mechanical fit?
Yes.
And can you explain to the jury what you understand that term to mean as far as what is a mechanical fit?
So a mechanical fit and a physical match are the same thing. It's when the broken edges align together to show that they were once a single item.
Now, if I could turn your attention to item 7-9, pieces of glass recovered from 34 Fairview Road. What were you able to conclude from your physical match analysis of just the individual pieces contained within item 7-9?
So this item had three pieces, and no physical match was found between those.
Turning your attention to item 7-10, red pieces of plastic recovered from 34 Fairview Road. That is a single item, is that correct?
Correct.
So no physical match because there's nothing to match, it's just one piece, correct?
Correct.
And turning your attention to item 7-11, identified as six red, clear, and black pieces of plastic recovered from 34 Fairview Road. What did you conclude in regard to your physical match analysis just within those pieces contained within 7-11?
So the item had six pieces and there was no physical match noted among those six.
Now, turning your attention to item 7-12, which was identified as 14 pieces of glass and clear plastic recovered from 34 Fairview Road. Again, what did you conclude from your physical match analysis just from the various pieces contained within item 7-12?
So there were 14 pieces overall. Pieces B, C, D, F, and K fit together mechanically as one unit. And then pieces E and I fit together mechanically as one unit. And pieces M and N fit together mechanically as one unit.
Now, through your examination of these pieces in particular and other pieces as well, did you note any debris contained on the pieces that you located?
Yes.
And can you say anything as far as what that debris was, or was there any analysis done of that debris specifically?
I just note that there was debris present, and I package it into a tin that's retained with the original packaging.
Now, turning your attention to item 7-13, that was a piece of plastic, red and black, recovered from 34 Fairview Road, is that correct?
Yes.
And again, just with respect to your physical match analysis of the various pieces of 7-13, what did you conclude?
So that item had three pieces, and there was no physical match noted among those three.
And again, with reference to item 7-14, piece of glass recovered from 34 Fairview Road, that was again a single item, correct?
A single piece, yes.
So I'll turn your attention to item 7-15, three clear and five red pieces of plastic recovered from 34 Fairview Road, is that correct?
Yes.
And what were you able to conclude from your physical match analysis, again, just from the various pieces contained within item 7-15?
So there were eight pieces in this one. Pieces F and H fit together mechanically.
Turning your attention to, lastly for this purpose, item 7-16, a piece of plastic, red and clear, recovered from 34 Fairview Road. What were you able to conclude from your physical match analysis just contained within the pieces of that single item, 7-16?
So that item had seven pieces. Pieces A, C, and D fit together mechanically.
Mick Valier, once you had examined each of those pieces individually, what did you do next in your analysis?
I compared all of the inter-questioned, these items 7-5 to 7-16. I compared them to see if there was a mechanical fit amongst those, between those items.
Mr. Lally, is this a good place for our break?
It's perfect. Yes, Your
Honor. All right, Mr. Lally, go right ahead.
Thank you, Your Honor. Now, Ms. Valier, we talked about sort of the physical match or mechanical fit analysis that you did with regard to each of the items individually, correct?
Yes.
And can you explain for the jury the process that you undertook in your physical match analysis between different item then?
So between different items, amongst the questioned ones, I only compared the pieces that were large enough to have a label on them. Some pieces were quite small. I utilized several benches and divided them up into sections for each item and individually pulled out all of those pieces. And then I had another bench where I did the actual comparison. I started with all the pieces of the same color and looked to see if any of those had potential edges that could match.
Now, with respect to items 7-15 and 7-16, did you do a physical match analysis between those two separate items?
May I look at my notes?
Yes.
Yes.
And what, if any, conclusions did you come to in relation to your physical match analysis between item 7-15 and item 7-16?
Two pieces from item 7-15, F and H, fit mechanically with two pieces from item 7-16, F and G.
And what, if any, conclusion were you able to draw with reference to the physical match between pieces from item 7-15 and pieces from item 7-16?
Those four pieces were at one time together as part of a larger unit.
Now, Mick Valier, what physical match analysis did you do with reference to item 7-6 and 7-11?
So one piece from item 7-6, piece B, fit mechanically with one piece from item 7-11, piece D. So those two pieces were at one time together as a larger unit.
And Mr. Lear, with reference to items 7-8, 7-9, and 7-16, what, if any, conclusions were you able to draw from any physical match analysis you did between pieces from those three items?
So two pieces from item 7-8, pieces C and D, one piece from item 7-9, piece A, and one piece from 7-16, piece E, were found to have a mechanical fit. So those pieces were at one time together as a larger unit.
lastly, for this section, at some point did you do a physical match analysis for the glass pieces in item 7-12 and 7-14?
Yes.
And what conclusions were you able to draw from your physical match analysis between 7-12 and 7-14?
There was no physical match between the glass pieces from, or pairing glass pieces from 7-12 and the glass piece from item 7-14.
Now, Ms. Valera, are you aware that there was an additional analysis that was done with respect to glass pieces and other glass pieces that you didn't examine in your analysis at your lab?
I know that there was other trace work done. I'm not sure exactly what the work was.
Okay. And do you know who performed that additional trace work?
Christina Hanley.
And who is she to you as far as in reference to your work at the lab?
She's my supervisor.
Now, with regard to each of these items individually, they came as labeled in individual bags, as you demonstrated on the screen, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And with respect to those bags, did you note any particular date associated on the front of those bags?
That's documented in my photos.
And all I'm asking here is that with respect to each of those bags of items, whether they be 3-1, 7-4, 7-5 or 6 or 8, many of those bags had different dates on them, correct?
Yes.
Okay. And when you received those items in that bag, you essentially removed the items from those individual bags, placed them on the table, and examined them, correct?
Yes.
And that examination included a microscopic examination?
Yes.
Now, with respect to any of those items, there were some items that pieces within the same bag that had the same date on that bag did not fit together mechanically, correct?
Yes.
However, there were items from one bag collected on one day that did fit mechanically with items from another bag collected on another day. Is that correct?
Yes.
Now, if I could turn your attention to item 3-1. Again, for the jury, what is the physical description associated with item 3-1?
Item, passenger side taillight, Massachusetts, 3GC684.
Now, did you perform a physical match analysis with pieces from item 3-1, 7-5, 7-6, 7-8, 7-10, 7-11, 7-12, 7-13, 7-14, 7-15, and 7-16?
I compared them, yes.
And what, if any, conclusions did you come to from your analysis, your physical match analysis between item 3-1 and all of the items beginning with the number 7?
There was a physical match with, do you want me to list?
If you could, please.
Okay. So two pieces from item 7-5, four pieces from item 7-8, one piece from item 7-10, four pieces from item 7-11, two pieces from item 7-12, two pieces from item 7-13, four pieces from item 7-15, and four pieces from item 7-16 were found to fit mechanically with item 3-1.
And what, if any, conclusions were you then able to draw from your physical match analysis between item 3-1 and each of those respective items beginning with the number 7?
Those pieces were once together as part of a larger unit.
May I approach, Ron?
Yes.
Mayor, I'm showing you three additional photographs. You recognize what's depicted in those?
I do.
And what do you recognize those?
This is a comparison between item 3-1 and those pieces from all of the other pieces.
Your Honor, I'm going to seek to introduce and admit as the next exhibit A, do you see?
Is there any objections to them?
No objection, Your Honor. Thank you. Ms. Gilman, if I could have photograph 2096. Ms. Gilman, yes. If you could even zoom in just a little bit more on the item itself. Mr. Lear, What are we looking at in this photograph?
So those pieces that I labeled from item 7 dash, all of those, they all fit together mechanically into this piece.
And as far as earlier you were testifying as far as the label maker and the different various pieces that you would label throughout the process of your physical match analysis, do you see these in this photograph as well?
I do.
And where are they located with reference to the reconstructed piece above?
They're those little white rectangles on the piece.
So what's depicted here is the mechanical fit between items 7-5, 7-6, 7-8, 7-10, 7-11, 7-12, 7-13, 7-14, 7-15, and 7-16, correct?
Not items 7-8 and 7-14, but the other ones, yes.
And why not those two?
They didn't fit mechanically with the other pieces.
Ms. Cummins, if I could have 2150. And Ms. Valier, what are we looking at in this photograph?
So on the right side was that piece that was just shown. And on the left side is item 3-1.
And lastly, Ms. Gilman, if we could have 2151. Again, if you could zoom in on that item as well. And Ms. Valier, what are we looking at in this photograph?
So that's that right piece on top of the taillight from the previous photo.
And is this the mechanical fit that you were testifying about earlier with reference to item 3-1, the taillight housing, and all of the various pieces that were found at 34 Fairview, starting with the number 7?
Yes.
Ms. Valier, lastly, in reference, did you also receive some debris from John O'Keefe's clothing?
Yes.
And Mr. Officer, we can have the lights back on. Thank you very much. And what did you find contained within that debris from John O'Keefe's clothing?
So it was 5 different items. So it was debris collected from, labeled as coming from the clothing. There was mostly debris, some apparent fibers.
Are there any pieces of apparent plastic contained within the debris?
Yes.
Was there dirt contained within the debris?
Yes.
And that debris was labeled as an item 17-18.18, was that correct?
I believe so.
And what is it that you did with the debris from the gray long sleeve shirt and the orange t-shirt?
So those are all packaged in like glassine folds. And I looked through it and documented it.
When you say you documented it, did you look at it under a microscope?
Yes.
So you did an examination under a microscope, is that correct?
Yes.
And did you measure some of those items contained within the debris?
Yes.
Specifically, did you measure items of apparent clear plastic contained within the debris?
Yes.
And what did you measure those items to be?
The piece of clear apparent plastic was approximately 1/8 inch by 1/16 inch.
And once you had conducted your preliminary analysis of those items, where did those items go?
I did no further examination on this myself. Christina Hanley might have examined some of these further.
Thank you. I have nothing further.
All right, Mr. Nardi.
Thank you very much.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I'd like to first talk fairly briefly about your reconstruction of the taillight to which you've testified. At the outset, by the way, that was item 7-3.1, am I correct?
Sorry, for which one?
That's the taillight, this 7-3.1, am I correct?
3-1, I believe.
7-3-1?
The taillight is item 3-1.
Oh, 3-1, I'm so sorry, okay. With regard to that particular item, your lab has different departments, correct? Criminalists who do different things, correct?
Yes.
You are aware that there are scientists within your lab who do DNA analysis, for instance, correct?
Yes.
And with regard to the order of processing items, is the DNA analysis done before or after you get the item?
It's usually before.
Okay. In this case, it was before. Am I correct?
I believe so.
Were you made aware that there were three contributors of DNA to that taillight, 3-1?
No.
Once you reconstructed the taillight, you'll agree with me that it was missing a piece, correct? Or pieces?
There was an empty spot on the overall reconstruction, yes.
Were you ever provided with any pieces of taillight that would have filled in that missing spot?
No.
Were you ever provided or told about any pieces recovered from One Meadows Ave in Canton?
No.
Were you ever told about a collision at One Meadows Ave in Canton?
Sustained.
In any case, you'll agree with me, there was no glass in that taillight at all, correct?
Within the taillight, I classified them as apparent plastic pieces.
There's no glass as part of the taillight, correct?
I mean, it depends on what you call, like, the bulbs usually have glass, as far as I'm aware.
Those are very, very thin glass, though, correct? Those bulbs?
Yes.
All right. Now, your lab received clothing in connection with this case. You've testified to that, correct?
I received the debris labeled as coming from the clothing. I never saw the clothing at all.
Right, but you're aware that your lab received clothing before the debris got to you, correct?
Yes.
And your understanding was that that was John O'Keefe's clothing in which he was found on January 29th of 2022, correct?
It's labeled as coming from him. I'm not sure of the date that it was found.
Okay. You understand the procedure that goes on at your lab when it receives evidence?
Yes.
And you know that once clothing is brought to your lab, it's given evidence numbers, correct?
Yes.
And then one of your colleagues at the lab handled the clothing and or examined it, correct, before it came to you?
Yes.
And your understanding is that one of your colleagues retrieved debris from those items of clothing and then packaged it in a fold before it got to you, correct?
Yes.
You then open up the fold and you look at the debris, correct?
Yes.
You never saw that debris inside the clothing, correct?
Correct.
And the pieces of clothing that come in are given evidence numbers when your lab receives them, correct?
Yes.
For instance, the orange t-shirt was given or was named item number 7-17?
Yes.
And the gray long sleeve shirt was item 7-18, correct?
Yes.
And your lab is accredited, correct?
Yes.
There is a complete chain of custody from the moment the clothing was brought to the lab to when the debris was removed from the clothing, ultimately to when you're in court today handling the items, correct?
Yes, our in-lab chain of custody extends from when we receive it to when the submitting agent, it is returned to the submitting agency.
Okay. And you have complete confidence that the chain of custody at your lab is effective at making sure that the evidence does not get lost or mixed up or contaminated, right?
I mean, chain of custody is meant to track where a piece of evidence is. The evidence unit also does inventories and audits to make sure that things are where they're supposed to be.
And you have confidence in your lab's chain of custody policies and procedures, correct?
Yes.
But you'll agree that your lab cannot control who handled the clothing before it arrived at your lab, correct?
Yes.
There are times in which crime scene technicians or criminalists from your lab actually participate in the search for evidence at a crime scene, do they not?
Some of the people at the lab are crime scene responders, yes.
There are times when they actually take custody of evidence. Again, I'm talking about people from your lab, professionals. They take custody right from the crime scene and transport that evidence to your lab, correct?
Yes.
In those circumstances, your lab would have a complete chain of custody from discovery to seizure to testing or whatever comparison you're doing until you release the items, correct?
Yes, but the electronic chain of custody doesn't start until that item is entered into our LIMS system at the lab.
Right, but when it's entered in, it would be entered in as having been seized by somebody from your lab, correct? In the hypothetical that I'm giving you.
Yeah, there's an evidence submission form that says that this crime scene responder submitted it to the laboratory.
There are other cases, however, when the evidence is brought to your lab by the police, correct?
Yes.
Local departments have access to your lab?
For evidence drop-off, yes.
The state police have access to your lab for evidence drop-off?
Yes.
And in this case, it was not a criminalist or other professional from your lab who seized the clothing and brought it to your lab, correct?
I'm not sure.
Do you have a record of that in your report in terms of who it was that brought the material to your lab?
I could look at the evidence submission form to see who.
With the court's permission?
Yes. Okay.
Do you have that with you now, please?
I do.
All right, go ahead, Mr. Neely.
Having reviewed your reports, can you testify to the jury about who it was that brought this evidence into the lab?
So you can help us.
So submission 7, all the items that are 7-, was submitted by Trooper Michael Proctor.
Were you aware of the date of the incident that gave rise to this case?
Yes.
And what was that date?
January 29th, 2022.
Were you aware that the clothing that you received was seized from the Good Samaritan Hospital that very day?
No.
What date was the clothing brought to your lab?
March 14th, 2022.
So that means that your chain of custody at the lab began on March 14th of 2022, correct?
Yes.
And would you agree with me that was about 6 weeks after the date of the incident, January 29th of 2022?
Yes.
And of course, you can't speak to the chain of custody from January 29th to March 14th of 2022, correct?
Correct.
And you have no information and do not know why Michael Proctor waited 6 weeks to bring this clothing to your lab, do you?
Sustained.
Do you know where Michael Proctor stored this clothing during that 6 week period?
No.
Do you know how often he was alone with access to the clothing during that 6 week period?
Sustained.
Do you know if he had access to pieces of red or clear taillight during that 6 week period?
Sustained. Move on, Mr. Neely.
You were not present when the clothing was seized, correct?
Correct.
You did not have custody of this clothing from January 29th of 2022 to March 14th of 2022, correct?
Correct.
You do not know what was done with the clothing before it arrived at your lab, correct?
You've covered this, Mr. Manning.
One last question. You cannot vouch for how the clothing or taillight pieces were handled before they got to your lab, correct?
I cannot.
Anything further, Mr. Lair? Yes.
Mr. Lair, there is a separate evidence unit contained within the Massachusetts State Police Crime Laboratory, correct?
Correct.
And fair to say you have absolutely nothing to do with that, correct?
I'm not a part of that unit.
And so your responsibility as far as chain of custody is concerned is from when you retrieve the item during your analysis and then when you return the item to the evidence unit, correct?
Correct.
And from that analysis that you performed, you found that there were 10 different items, starting with the number 7, that were a mechanical fit to 3-1, the taillight housing from the defendant's vehicle, correct?
If it's 10 items, I don't have... I can count them.
Oh. as far as all those items beginning with seven that you went through or elucidated on your direct examination, each of those were a mechanical fit to each other and then to the taillight housing in 3-1?
The pieces that were previously stated, yes.
Nothing further.
All right.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Let's check in with golf legend John Daly.
I only spend on Moto, America's social casino. You know, I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. That's Daly. Moto Casino, hands down, has the best VIP experience. Take it from one high roller to another.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
If you're ready to go for the greens with me, grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit moto.us for more details.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
It's time to play big on Moto Social Casino, America's hottest free-to-play social casino experience. Moto.us has live casino games. It's time! Play big, win bigger on Moto.us today.
Moto is a social casino, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Visit Moto.us for more details.
It's time!
Moto.us.
What if I told you that right now, millions of people are living with a debilitating condition that's so misunderstood, many of them don't even know that they have it? That condition is obsessive compulsive disorder, or OCD. I'm Dr. Patrick McGrath, the Chief Clinical Officer of NOCD. And in the 25 years I've been treating OCD, I've met so many people who were suffering from the condition in silence, unaware of just what it was. OCD can create overwhelming anxiety and fear around what you value most, make you question your identity, beliefs, and morals, and drive you to perform mentally and physically draining compulsions or rituals. Over my career, I've seen just how devastating OCD can be when it's left untreated. But help is available. That's where NOCD comes in. NOCD is the world's largest virtual therapy provider for obsessive compulsive disorder. Our licensed therapists are trained in exposure and response prevention therapy, a specialized treatment proven to be incredibly effective for OCD. So visit NOCD.com to schedule a free 15-minute call with our team. That's NOCD.com.
Moto.us.
Visit MODO.us for the best free play social casino experience wherever you are. Moto offers a huge selection of Vegas-style games and now introducing live blackjack, roulette, and casino hold'em. These are so much fun. Moto always has generous jackpots, free spins, and exciting promotions. Register today at MODO.us for your free welcome bonus.
Moto is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Conditions apply. See website for details.
Moto.us.
Let's check in with golf legend John Daly.
I only spend on Moto, America's social casino. You know, I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. That's Daly. Moto Casino, hands down, has the best VIP experience. Take it from one high roller to another.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
If you're ready to go for the greens with me, grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Let's check in with golf legend John Daly.
I only spend on Moto, America's social casino. You know, I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. That's Daly. Moto Casino, hands down, has the best VIP experience. Take it from one high roller to another.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
If you're ready to go for the greens with me, grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto.us.
Visit MODO.US for the best free play social casino experience wherever you are. Modo offers a huge selection of Vegas-style games and now introducing live blackjack, roulette, and casino hold'em. These are so much fun. Modo always has generous jackpots, free spins, and exciting promotions. Register today at MODO.US for your free welcome bonus.
Modo is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Conditions apply. See website for details.
MODO.US. MODO.US.
Visit MODO.US for the best free play social casino experience wherever you are. Modo offers a huge selection of Vegas-style games and now introducing live blackjack, roulette, and casino hold'em. These are so much fun. Modo always has generous jackpots, free spins, and exciting promotions. Register today at MODO.US for your free welcome bonus.
Modo is a social casino. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Conditions apply. See website for details.
MODO.US.